praise the Lord. Good to be in church.
Amen.
Again. Amen. Well, I want to say thank you to Grace Baptist Church, Pastor Walker, family, and folks here for allowing us to be here. It's an honor. Amen. And I just thank God for anything that I can do. And I hope that we've been a help to you. Amen.
Amen.
I hope that you'll continue on. Amen. I want to hear good things down the road. Amen. And it can happen. All things are possible with God. That's what he said. Now, if we're trying it on our own, it ain't possible. It ain't going to happen. Amen. But thanks for all the food, the fellowship, the friendship, and the times to preach here this weekend. We've had a time. I've had a fun time. I don't know about y'all. Amen. The Bible does say if you endure to the end, you're doing pretty good. So, hey, most of you's done pretty good of that. Amen. And but we've enjoyed ourselves these days. And glad to have another church to pray for. Glad to have another friend, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Amen. But it's been good. I've enjoyed myself. It's been fun. And the room, oh my goodness. When my wife, I walked in, I mean, you know, listen, hey, that's about half of a house. Amen. And he said that he had a suite. And so I was expecting, I said, well, Jacob, he'll have a pull-out couch. And he's appreciated of anything. And then he got a bed. I said, oh, my goodness, son. They must have thought you were somebody special. Amen. And but it's been nice. And we'll definitely be praying for you. And if you haven't got a prayer card back on the back, I think there's a few more back there. Get a prayer card and pray for us. We want to try to continue for the Lord. And amen. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, sitting around the room this afternoon. My wife got a cat nap and a puppy nap and billy goat nap, amen. And so she should be okay for the next little bit and everything. But Hebrews chapter 10, if you can, you will and able, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Start reading in verses 19. And the Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much that the more as you see the day approaching. Lord, I pray just for a little bit. I pray that you lead, guide, and direct, and take a hold of my mouth and my thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Here we talking about holding fast in these days. And with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on how to cope in these last days. How to cope in these last days. Let me just let you know something. In the spiritual realm, it's not going to get any better. Amen? Now, it is better when we're close to God. But I'm talking about far as the world. You know, there's still going to be people to reject people. There's still going to be people that don't want a thing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you get one. Amen? If you get one. And listen, I hope you haven't worried about the crowds because, listen, we enjoy the ones that come. Amen? And not that we wouldn't have appreciated others to come, but hey, the ones that showed up is the ones that need to be fed. Amen? And the ones that's been helped out and everything, but listen, we're in the last days. Oliver B. Green said back when he was preaching, we was in the last days. And I want to say, well, he even said we're in the last minutes. And if that be true, then he's been gone for quite a few years. We're in the last seconds. I mean, we're down to where you ever done, if you've done ever done any remodeling in a house, you know how that 2x4s, you know, the walls go up pretty fast and the roof goes on pretty good and all the different things. And then you get down to the trim. And boy, does that ever take decades. Amen. Well, that's where we're at with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're on the trimming part. And it could be any day now. I had a preacher to tell me, and then I talked to another preacher friend of mine last week, and I said, oh, yeah, did old so-and-so tell you we had 4 more years to go? He said, yeah. And I understand what some of the concept of what they're doing. They pick out those numbers and everything. And, you know, I'm not saying he's wrong. I don't know how much longer we've got, but I can say this much. We need to continue till he comes. Amen. He said when he come back, would he find any faith in the earth? It's getting pretty weak, amen? I thank God that there are a few churches still on the side of the hill or the side of the mountain or in the valley that's still going. But every year that we're closer to the Lord's coming, there's a few more. You just think in 2020. Now, 2020 was a different year. But not just because of the pandemic, but I wonder how many churches is not going now in 2021 that finally closed their doors in 2020. So you better be very careful when you say, when somebody asks a question, well, are you planning on standing till the end? Well, most of us would say yes, but you better say with the help of the Lord. Because you say, why? Well, I can't stand on my own. Listen, my wife figured that out real quick, like she can't even stand without me being around her. Amen. Listen, that's the reason I don't let my wife get out very far. She embarrasses me a whole lot. Amen. Now, some of you don't think I love my wife because I pick on her. If I didn't pick on my wife would say, you don't love me. Amen. But in these last days, I'm going to tell you what, your pastor's family, you are going to have somebody to stand with you. You remember the time when Noah was, listen, hey, Noah was in his last wits. He was just before ready to cut it all up, give up. Hey, he had to have some people to hold him up. Amen. And your pastor and pastor's family, listen, hey, I don't know how y'all do that around here, but a lot of people in our in different parts of the world now are having pastor appreciation month. And you should appreciate your pastor, but not just your pastor. Amen. I don't know what she does, but I can promise you this much. She does a lot more than some people think she does. Amen? I thank God for my wife. And listen, I don't need no appreciation. My wife needs it. You say, why? She put up with me for a long time. She'd no doubt when she gets to heaven, God's going to have some big old crown say, here's what you get for putting up with that fella. Amen? But I'm just saying, in these last days, you can't cope without one another. Look in James chapter 4 in these last days. Where I'm going to give you a few things. And the only reason I'm long-winded is because I've been told that so long, I've got to live up to my name. Amen? James chapter 4, look in verses 8. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. I'm going to tell you what you're going to have to do in 2021. You're going to have to draw nigh to God. I'm talking about, listen, hey, you're going to need a relationship with God like Enoch had. That you're walking with him and you're talking with him. There's sweet fellowship. Listen, hey, I'm just telling you, you're going to need to get real, real close. Because I'm telling you right now, the devil's after us, the world's after us, the flesh is after us. You've got to draw nigh to God. Listen, hey, we got to continue keeping our sins confessed so we can be close to God. Amen. We don't need to wait till one of our kids is in the hospital. We don't need to wait till a death comes. We need to do it now. Amen. Draw nigh to God. Hey, he wants to draw nigh to you. Listen, hey, most people think that God left them. No, you left God. Amen. We got to draw nigh to him. Listen, hey, there's lots of people today. I'm telling you, there's lots of people today that are concerned of what's going to happen next week. Or no, Wednesday. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're close. Amen. We're going to get a new president. Praise the Lord. Amen.
But I'm going to tell you right now, you better tell you how you're going to cope with this new stuff that's coming on, this communism's coming on. You're going to have to draw nigh to God. You ain't going to be able to make it without God. I'm going to tell you right now, and listen, hey, and if you think any of these people at the White House like God, honey, you better go to listen a little bit of what they say. That old Harrison woman, I'm not just preaching on politics, but that Harrison woman, here's what she told her. Here's what she said on TV. Christmas will not be a holiday any longer. And I'm going to tell you something. I made a statement some time ago. You may tell you why Christ is no longer in Christmas? Because Christ is no longer in Christian. Because we went way past Christmas. Amen. We put it in the part. Hey, listen. When you talk to people, they'll say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, Christians acting like Christ. And you're going to have to draw real close to God to hang on. Because listen, hey, this world don't like a whole lot of things that's going on when it comes to Christianity. Amen. You're going to have the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to need to be under His wings. You're going to have to, listen, you may be saved, but I'm telling you right now, you ain't, listen. And I'm going to say this morning when I was preaching, I do want to say this part. Don't try to fight the devil on your own. Do not, listen, hey, you are not man nor woman enough to fight the devil. But if you'll have God, and what was it? David said, not only did David say over there the other night, not only did he say, I come to you in the name of God, he also said that the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. Amen. Listen, we are soldiers in this thing, and I understand that. But I am going to tell you something. You're going to have God. Do you know how we have won somewhat of the wars that we have won over the decades that we've won? They had to have armor. You got to go over to Ephesians chapter 6, and it goes down through there, and it tells you what you've got to have every day. You got to have that. Amen. He was in some rank of the army over there. He knows about all that kind of stuff. I'm in the army of the Lord. You know what I got to have? I got to have the Lord Jesus Christ hovering over me. I've got to be real close to Him. Listen, before something bad happens, I got to start praying now. Amen. Am I making sense? We got to draw nigh to God. Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, look in verses 30. The Bible says, He must increase and I must decrease. Listen, we got to make much of Jesus. Amen. My pastor says it all the time. If we'll make much of Jesus, He'll make much of us. It ain't about Gary Hawkins. It ain't about Grace Baptist Church. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. We got to decrease. Listen, hey, we've got to be down here and let Him up here. Just listen, hey, just go to talking about Jesus. Go to singing about Jesus. Listen, hey, the praises of God and things, you're going to need to decrease. You know, there's some, I think we was talking some this week or whatever, or this weekend, and there's some people that just think they're it. I'm going to tell you right now, listen, I'm telling you, I know who I am. I don't have to have my wife, or I don't have to have family members, and I don't have to have friends to tell me who I am. I know who I am. You say, now, how do you know? Because I keep up with the Word of God. And God will tell me every time how I am, what I'm doing, and how I'm not doing. Listen, I did not come here to make much of Gary, because listen, hey, you can forget me. Hey, you can get the Alzheimer's and never remember who I am, and you're okay. But if you forget who Jesus is, you forgot it all. What the Bible says, there was no greater man that walked on earth other than John the Baptist. You know what? He wasn't talking about just how good John was. He's just talking about how good of a job he was doing proclaiming the gospel. Because see, John said, here comes the one. I'm not even worthy to loosen his shoes. Hallelujah. Jesus must be calling. Amen. I'm just telling you, folks, we've got to decrease. We've got to quit thinking we're somebody and make much of Jesus. How about this? Philippians chapter 2. And while you're getting over there, we know why Noah sleeps now. He said he come off of the ark, so he was 100 and some years old in the Bible when he died, and then he come back as what he is now. Amen? And so he's getting pretty old.
Y'all can record that and tell him I said it. Amen. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Look in verses 2 and 3. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. I want to say something to you. We may have a small crowd here, but we got a real devil. You better stay in one mind, one accord. Listen, the devil don't like it when we're in unity with the Lord and with each other. I have seen it. I have been there. I'm a preacher's kid. I have seen so much stuff that it ain't even funny. I think about, the reason Amazing Grace is my favorite song, and the reason it's my favorite song, it's by the grace that he saved me, and it's amazing that he would have saved me. It's amazing that I would have even wanted anything to do with him after the things that I've seen. And I have seen how people turn on things. Listen, hey, the devil would like nothing more than for you to turn on your pastor. Amen? Now listen, if he gets up here and goes off the wall and starts preaching things that I said, amen, please let me know that. I'll come back over here and take care of things. Amen. He is pretty tall, but the bigger they are, the better they fall. They say, I don't know. I might not want to find out. I don't have no idea. But as long as he sticks with the book and he's got the doctrines of the Bible right, you have no complaints. You say, well, yeah, but you just don't know how he preaches. Well, listen, I don't have to know. And it don't matter how he preaches as long as he's with the book. As long as he sticks with that book, honey, there ain't nothing. You can complain. But here's the thing. Here's what I tell most church members. They say, well, you just don't understand. The preacher gets up here. I don't get nothing out of it. Yeah, it's probably because you're a sinner. You're wicked. You're still doing what he tells you not to do. Amen. And I'm going to tell you how easy and simple it is for you to get to your next level and for your preacher to move to the next level. You just come to the altar and get it right. Amen. Hey man, that's pretty simple, ain't it? Yeah, but I just don't like the way things are. Well, if God's telling him to do it and you're against it, then you're wrong. Is everybody all right? I'm just telling you how easy it is to get against. And I'm going to say, you not only that, you can get against each other. Well, you don't know what so-and-so said to me. Well, maybe it need to be said. See, there's a lot of people that say, well, Brother Hawkins, I just wouldn't say some of the things you say. I said, good, you sat down, you gutless coward. I got the guts to say it. I've told my family, I've told church members, if you have got the guts to do it, I've got the guts to tell you it's wrong. Amen. Yeah, I've made a lot of people mad. I made a woman mad the other day because of a little bitty animal. And if it goes against God, then she's wrong. Amen. And she's not mad at me. She's mad at God. You say, why? Because God's the one that told me to say it. We got to work together. You know how a puzzle is? Listen, I don't know much about them. Listen, if you can get me one of those kindergarten puzzles, I'll put it together for you. I do not want one less than 20 pieces. I mean, yeah. No, more than 20 pieces. I'm not even sure I could put a 20 piece together. I may do pretty good with that. I don't know. Probably in about, right before the Lord comes, I may could have it together. But a church should be like a puzzle. It fit together. Amen? You know, not everybody in this town would be a puzzle to equal up in this church. Am I being right? Bible? Not everybody hooked up with Jesus. Now, that's not saying that, listen, I mean, hey, you know what we could do? We could pray that somebody go on the other side of town, start another church. So they could go over and hook up with them, amen? And as I have preached this week, listen to me. And I heard the preacher say it, I think, let the Lord do it. Because it is the Lord's work, amen? Listen, invite people, bring people in. But make sure before you make them a member, they're going to be behind you.
I mean, listen, I remember one time my daddy started a church in Marion, South Carolina, and this guy, oh, you know how these people, oh, Brother Hawkins, you know, I'm going to be right behind you. Yeah, he just didn't tell you what kind of knife he was going to have behind you. Amen. Oh, I'm going to be there with you. We can have good times. We can knock on doors together. We can fellowship together. We can grow this church together. That was the problem. Amen. They was trying to grow it, not God. Amen. And it wasn't long. My daddy's got a phone call. So-and-so just left. Then my daddy started going around to some of these other places and just happened to walk on the property where the guy was leaving the property. Oh, Brother Hawkins, I'm going to tell you right now, we got some discord in the church, but it ain't me. I ain't doing it. Why was you going to people's houses? Amen? Am I making sense tonight? I want to see things happen here for the glory of God. Amen? You know, I've thought about it over the years. If the Lord ever was to find a church that would allow me to pastor them, my boy told me sometime, he said, I don't know why you say you're so mean, Daddy. You really ain't that mean. I said, yeah, but it's just the way I say things. But if the Lord ever was to settle me down for a church, you know what? I want a church that's going to thrive for the Lord. I want a church that's going to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you right now, we've got enough churches across our land that are just sitting there. They come on Sunday morning. If they're able to come back on Sunday night, maybe they'll come back on Wednesday night and they just sit there. Hey, we need to be busy. The preacher's singing that song. We need to be fired up. Listen, hey, we need to get a light lit up under us somehow or another, honey, and just go for it. I ain't talking about bringing in turkeys having seizures. I'm not talking bringing in the smokestacks. I'm not talking to bringing in the contemporary stuff. I'm talking about, listen, when it comes to music, I don't know nothing about music. I do not know how to sing. You done figured that one out real quick, like. But I am going to tell you something. There is a way to describe the music in the Bible, and that's the way we need to have it. Amen. There's nothing wrong with instruments, using them right. Was it Jerry Mundy? I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Brother Jerry Mundy and Jerry Betty Mundy from Tennessee. He played for the top guys in country music. You name some of the guys, he played with them. I'm talking about the top. And he got saved. Now he's off of the road now because of some things that's happened over the last couple of 3 years. But he's playing for the Lord. That piano can be played for the Lord. My son's got a guitar. He's got a mandolin. My oldest son's got a guitar and a banjo. I know some people. I was up in Pennsylvania here a couple of years ago. Well, it'll be this coming summer. It'll be 2 years ago. And he said, Brother Hawkins, I'd just rather you use the guitar and that's it. You say, what'd you do? I put the rest of the stuff up. I'm going to respect as his church, not mine. Hey, man. But I can tell you something. You can use banjos for the right way. Amen. And I know most wouldn't handle this, and I'm not expecting you to do it, and I'm not going to go get none, but we could use drums for the Lord if we tried. Amen? They's used right. I've been to some churches that used them. I ain't talking about beating on them and acting like your head was about to fall off their head. I'm talking about using something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We can be against all kinds of things. We're going to have to be for a few things. Amen? I'm against a whole lot of things. Most people wouldn't have me back if they knew what I was really against. Amen. I'm just saying we got to be in one mind and one accord. In these last days, in these troubling times, we're going to have to be together. You say, why? A house can't stand if it's divided. Amen. That making sense? 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, yes. Look in verses 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me say something to you. In these last days, and to cope with these last days, you're going to need to know this scripture. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you something. When this thing, if it was to go left and it was to take off and communism and all the rest of that comes in, there's going to be some people that's going to come to Grace Baptist Church and come to the Hawkins family, and they're going to say, I need some answers.
Need another book? Need another book? There's 66 books. We need to know all 66 of them. Now, I want to say something to you. I'm not that good at memorizing scripture. I try to memorize some. And it's good because the Bible, but Psalms did say to hide thy word in thy heart. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. To get your mind off of what's going on, because I'm sure there's some people in here depressed that like to watch NBC and ABC and Fox News and all the rest of that stuff. Amen. You're going to have to get your mind on off of that and get it in here.
Amen.
I have noticed in my time, in my lifetime of reading this Bible, the more I'm reading this, the less I'm worried about the White House. The more that I'm reading this and studying this and meditating on this and hiding this in my heart and getting this through my mind, and I'm going to tell you right now, the devil sure can throw a lot of stuff in there. Amen? Some of you would probably recognize this part. You used to listen to that ungodly, filthy music. And you know what? All you've got to do is walk in a place and it'll come right back to you. That's the reason you've got to stick your nose in this book. That's the reason. Listen, hey, we've got to fill our mind with it and get it down to our heart. And there's a lot of junk up here, so it's going to take a lot of reading. I don't know how much any of you really know about Peter Ruppman. I don't know as much as some people know, but everything. He was a pretty wicked man, my understanding. You say, what happened? Well, he knew how wicked he was, and he knew what he had to have. Amen. That's the reason he read so much. That's the reason he knew so much. Listen, hey, we ain't got to be as smart as he is, but we got to be smart enough that we can have answers for people. Amen?
Amen.
There are people, I'm listening, people's fixing, they've always been confused, but they're really getting fixing to be confused. They don't listen. There's some people, and there's some people in our Baptist churches today that don't know exactly what's going on and why it's going on. That's the reason we that have been to Bible college and learn right, amen, and get in this book and rightly divided. And I'm going to tell you right now, there has been quite a few that have wrongly divided it. See, some preachers start out, and here's the way they start out. And when they get into the book this length of the time, I started out this way and I ain't changing. That's the wrong attitude to have. Do you know that I had somebody to come to me just the other day when I made a statement or whatever, and I don't mind that. I like it because I want to make sure I'm right. You say, why? Because I'm going to stand before God. A little bit of rebuke on this side of heaven and gets me right with God and gets me on the right course and gets me to study in the Bible right. Guess what? That's a pretty good idea. Amen. We need to know this book. We need to preach this book. We need to practice this book. We need to live this book. Because I told you this morning, I believe it was, not everybody in Clinton's got a Bible. And we're it. Amen. We got to know it. There's lots of things in here. And listen, I'm not talking about knowing it, being a smart aleck with it. Amen. You got, listen, I'm going to tell you, I went to college a little bit. I didn't go long enough to get stupid. Amen. And I'm not against education. I'm trying to educate my son or get my wife to educate my son so he'll know something. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but hey, I would like for him to be ready for what's fixing to come. But I'm going to tell you right now, if any college goes against this, and I've seen a lot of them do it, they're not right. I'm not sure in 2021 how many colleges that I would be willing to send people to anymore. Even some of the Bible believers are going the wrong way. And so that's the reason. And I'm going to say this to, I'm not, listen to me all the way through, because I'm a different breed. I come from a different school. I'm even older than some of the old timers are. But you want to know where college started when it comes to Bible college, the local church? Amen. I mean, listen, hey, we don't have, I don't know, he went to more college than I did. I'm sure if he graduated from it, I just went. Only reason I went was I didn't go to get the doctorate degrees. I didn't go to get all the papers so I could say, well, look at me, I'm no doctor so-and-so. I don't know what, I'm not a doctor. Unless you want to count my handwriting, I can do pretty good with that. I wanted to learn how to study this Bible. That's the reason I went. I wanted the people to show me how to study the Bible. You say, why? Because I need to study the Bible. And I want to do it right. So when somebody comes up to me and says, now, Brother Hawkins, I don't quite see it this exactly this way. Maybe you ought to look at it this way. I've got to open my daddy and my pastor, both of them, my daddy and my pastor, the same man, has taught me to have an open mind. You say, why? Because I'm sure I'm not right on everything. And I want to be right on everything. Not because I want to impress somebody. I could become a better preacher possibly. The more I know, amen. Not that I'm better in the part of somebody thinking I'm somebody. Listen, I don't want to get put up on a pedestal where I'll fall. Listen, my balance ain't that good. I'm against. Listen, hey, what was it? I was preaching revival in Alabama three years ago or whatever, and if any of you has been to a church, they sing I love lifted me, and when they get to that lifted me part, they lift their back or their heel up, and I wouldn't do it. And so the preacher stopped and says, we got to rebuke our evangelist for not participating in our song. I said, brother, I'm scared of heights. I'm not going that high, man. But let's study this word. And I'm going to say something to you. It ain't just for the preacher. It ain't just for the preacher's wife. Who should study the Bible? Everybody. I'm working with my son this year, 13 years old. Why can't you get shrink again, son? I want him to read the Bible through one time. Not because I want him to be able to say, well, guess what I did last year? No, so he can say, and he will. I mean, my boys, either he wants me to stop and pay attention to him. I'm not figured it out yet. But he'll say, Daddy, listen to this. And he'll read the scripture. And he'll start talking about it. Amen? That's good. All the children ought to know a little bit. Amen? And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a whole lot easier to memorize it now than it is when you're 48 years old. How about 2 Corinthians? Second Corinthians chapter 13. Look in verses 5. The Bible says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now here Paul's talking to the Corinthian church and he's telling them, hey, you better make sure you got it. See, I'm going to say something to you. I haven't really preached a whole lot of salvation this week, but I believe it's necessary tonight. You say, why? Because I believe God wants me to. Amen? Amen? You better make sure you got it. You say, why? Eternity's a long time. I've known preachers that got saved. Listen, hey, I'm going to be honest with you. I think if some of the preachers that get saved, I think it would help them. Amen? I was preaching in New York probably about, 5 years ago, something like that. I was preaching up in New York, and I preached on salvation one night, and here's what the pastor said. I didn't say nothing to him after church. He come to me, and he said, man, you made salvation so real, I almost was ready to do it again. You almost convinced me that I needed to be saved. I wished I'd have done a little bit harder, because I think he needs to be saved. I haven't been back to that church. Matter of fact, he called me up. I had a scheduled meeting with him the following year, and I don't even know why I was dumb enough to schedule with him. But you believe this or believe it not, you can ask my wife, you can ask a couple of my children that was with me. I prayed that the Lord would cancel it. See, I don't like to cancel meetings, but I like the Lord to. You say, whenever he does it, I know it's canceled. I made his wife mad. And he didn't have the guts to tell me, so he waited till I was gone about a month and called me. He said, Brother Hawkins, there's somebody in my church that don't like you. And I think we'd just be better off to cancel the meeting. I said, thanks for calling me. Give me plenty of time to book that week for somewhere else. And you have a good... Well, you don't want to know who it is? I already knew who it was, honey. You listen, I may not be the smartest cookie in the jar, but I ain't the dumbest one, and I wasn't burned last night. Amen. I know when people get mad. Listen, hey, I don't look at people, and I know. Because I'd said a few things about his children, and it, you say, well, you ain't got the right to do that. God tells me to, I do. Amen? Some people say, well, you didn't raise your seven good enough. Well, I'm just telling you right now, I've had people to ask me in certain situations if I could do it, if I could preach it better than somebody else could. Let me just let you know something. I can preach a whole lot better on things that I've lived and I've experienced. Not that I think I'm anybody, but I can. You say, how do you know? Well, it's a whole lot easier to preach things you have experienced. And when somebody ain't doing right, if some preacher ain't got the guts to tell the other preacher they ain't doing it right, then I'm just going to tell you he's a gutless coward. Amen? I'm just telling you right now, we got to make sure we're saved. I got seven children, and I've never told one of them they was saved. You say, why? I didn't save them. This one right here, 3 years ago, two or three years ago, I was in South Carolina taking care of a church for a preacher, a friend of mine. And it was 10 days before Christmas, and we had some friends over that day, and we just, you know, stayed up kind of late during some of the weekend, and I got up, and I preached three times that day, and so I came in, took a shower, and I went to bed early. And I don't know, I hadn't been in the bed long enough. Listen, I'm one of them people, it don't take me no time to go to sleep. I don't have to pop pills to go to sleep. I don't even have to worry to go to sleep. I'm like Jim White was. When I hit the pillow, I'm gone. And all of a sudden, I'm going to tell you right, don't take much to wake me up. He come down, running down them steps and hollering and beating on my door. And I said, what in the name of God's your problem? He said, I need to be saved. Now, that was the second time that he had made a profession. You know what? I told him if he didn't get it that time, he better make sure he's got it. You say, well, hell's an awful place. The Bible says that the rich man lifted his eyes, being in torments. The rich man, the rich man was asking for a drop of water. And I want to say something. He's been there for a long time. He sure wished he could get a drop of water. But do you know how long that would last in a good-sized fire? It wouldn't last long. If you ever have any bonfires out here, you know what? If you have it long enough and it's going long enough, it takes quite a bit of water to put that thing out. Well, I'm going to let you know something. It's a big fire in hell, and it ain't going to ever be put out because there's not enough water on this earth to ever put it out. And it's for eternity. Better make sure it says examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. I'm sure somewhere in this place that we're in, there's a courthouse. How would it be if you had to go to the courthouse in the morning? They're bringing you in and you're going to have the judge there. You've got the jury there. You've got the lawyers there. You've got people there. And you have got to convince them you're saved. Could you do it? What could you say that the jury would say, he's no doubt guilty of being saved? And it ain't that you got some great words to be said, or it ain't because you've been baptized or joined the church. Listen, hey, I'm not proud of this, but my daddy started a church on the ocean of North Carolina, and I would go to the altar and make a profession, because when we went and baptized, we went to the ocean and I was wanting to play in the water. And I just said, well, if I get saved, I can get baptized and then I can play in the water. I wasn't too smart, was I? I could have played in the water and never made a profession. But I got baptized so many times the tadpoles could probably know my social security number. So baptism won't get you to heaven. Baptism is a thing to do after you're saved. Showing the church, showing the people that you are going to be obedient to God and get baptized. You could join this church and any other church in this city, but that don't mean you're going to heaven. And see, here's the thing. Hell is just a holding place for those that have decided to go to hell. And listen, it is a choice. Now, here's a lot of people make a statement, and I'm sure your preacher will agree with me when I make this statement. God ain't sending nobody to hell. You send yourself to go to hell when you reject what He done on an old rugged cross. Yes, He'll be the one that casts you in hell. Yes, He'll throw you in the lake of fire. I understand the concept of the Scripture, but He has died on an old rugged cross, shed His precious blood so that you could die, so that you could accept the free gift. It don't cost you a dime to get saved. It is salvation is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of thyself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, I don't do what I do to go to heaven. I do what I do so others can go to heaven. I don't want people to go to hell. I want the devil to go to hell. That's the only person I want to go to hell. You say, why? Because he's been awful aggravating. And if you'll go to Matthew chapter 25, and I'm not going to go there, but you can read that sometime. Verse 24, and it says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. So hell was not even created for human beings. So if you die and go to hell, it will not be God's fault. It's a choice. Hey, some of you have made a choice on Friday night and Saturday night this morning and tonight to come back to church. That's a pretty good choice to make, to come to the house of God. But you better make sure you're saved. You better make sure that Jesus Christ is on the inside. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Romans chapter 10. I think I'm just going to finish up on salvation. Y'all might get out early tonight. Don't guarantee you that to amen. Look in verses 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with thine what? That God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here we go. You got to believe with your heart. You can pray. That's good. Not until you believe with your heart. See, we've got man-made easy believism and we've got man-made heartism. God made it simple. You say, why? Because I only think simple. I don't think easy. I don't think hard. I think simple. Here's the way it was. He simply made it that we simply believe and receive and accept what He did on that old rugged cross. Man, you know how simple that is? And the Bible does say, listen, hey, children that are here that are getting to the age of accountability, He says, matter of fact, in Matthew, I believe it is, that you've got to become as a child to even be saved. So evidently, grown-ups ain't as smart as they think they are. Amen. Salvation. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, you think about this. Salvation, without salvation, you're separated from the Savior. Now, I want to say something to you. If you know anything about Jesus, you don't want to be separated from Him. You say, why? He died on the cross. He shed His precious blood. He did hang there, and they did put 3 nails in Him, 2 in His hand and 1 in His feet, putting them together. But that's not what kept Him up there. What kept Him up there was He loved you. What kept Him up there? Listen, hey, I should have been the one who hung on that old rugged cross. Here's the way I describe in the part of Jesus Christ. I was in the courtroom. I was sitting there. The judge had found me. I was guilty of any and everything that they could imagine I could be guilty of. And the judge has got the hammer in his hand, going to hit the table and say, he's guilty. But before the hammer could hit the desk, Jesus walked in. And Jesus said, listen, hey, I know he's guilty. He is wrong. He's done a lot of things. But I know that he can't get there without me. So mercy walked in. John chapter 14 and verse 6 said, I'm the way. In that motel room we got, my goodness, you're talking about doors, honey. I'm telling you right now. I told you it was a half of a house. There's ways to walk around and get through and go back and forth and get out of that room. But when I go to heaven, I'm not going to the La Quinta Inn. And I'm sure going through this church, there's probably more than one way to get out of here. When I die, I'm not going to Grace Baptist Church. When I die, I'm going Jesus' way. But not only is he the way, he's the truth. Did you know that most people today, the day and hour that we're living in the 21st century, do you know what most people in our Baptist churches want? Somebody lied to them. Oh, you're just such a good feller and you never do nothing wrong. That's a hireling. It's what my Bible calls it, a hireling. It's a lie because, listen, if you're not saved, it's not going to end up good. I preached this morning, the ending is better if you're saved. If you're not saved, the ending ain't better. Ending's only better for those that are born again, saved by the grace of God. And I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to tell you the truth tonight. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to tell you, but I am going to tell you this. If you're not born again, Nicodemus come to Jesus by night because he was ashamed of who he was and didn't want his friends to know that he was going to go talk to the Messiah of the earth, the Savior of the world. And he come to him and he said, "What must I do?" An educated man, a man that probably had every kind of degree that you could have got in those days. Because Jesus said, "You are an educated man and you don't know how to get saved." You go over to Timothy there and it says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, when a preacher's preaching to you and God's dealing with your heart, you better not wait another day. You better not wait another hour. You better not wait another minute. You say, why? Because he could not deal with you again. In this same town, 9,000 people, I'm sure there's a graveyard and there's a funeral home and your casket could be in town. I'm just telling you right now, you better not think that you can get to heaven on some lie. You got to be born again. You got to accept Jesus Christ. You got to be drawn to the Holy Spirit of God. You got to be convicted. Growing up in church all of my life, I went to Open Door Baptist Church on July the 11th, just like any other day. I wasn't looking for Jesus. I went in. I was the song leader. I sung in the choir. I shook the people's hands. I even went for invitation when the preacher finally got done preaching after about 2 hours. You think I'm long-winded? You don't want to go hear Larry Couch. Amen. And I went and led the singing. God was dealing with my heart. A preacher's son. You say, man, you went to church that much and you was lost. Oh yeah, we'd be surprised if we knew how many lost people was in most of our Baptist churches. Dr. Lee Robertson, I don't know how many ever remember him from Tennessee. Here's what he said in the 70s. That 70% of our churches was lost and on the way to hell. That's over 30 years ago. No, that's longer than that. Man, I wonder what it would be today. He'd been gone for a long time. Not everybody that saith, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have to believe and accept it. See, when I met my wife, she let me know real quick like that September the 11th was her birthday. And whether I had money or not, we were celebrating her birthday. And I'm praying that this year, if the Lord's going to tarry, he's coming to that day. I got money to do something with her. If not, I'll have to leave home for about a week and then I can come back. But you know what? I could go get a gift and try to make her take it. If she didn't accept the gift, would it be a gift? A gift is something that somebody accepts. Jesus is not in any way, shape, or form trying to make you take it. But he sure would like you you'd accept it. Amen. You say, why? Hell's awful. It's an awful place. A lake of fire. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, a lake of fire on the back of my van, I have got due to the fire in hell, the party's been canceled. There'll be no party in hell. Some people say, well, I'm going to hell and I'm going to hang out with my buddies. I'm just going to let you know something. All of a sudden in hell, in the lake of fire, you no longer have buddies. Your friend, you had no friends in hell. Well, I'll be all right. You know, I had somebody to call me here. I don't know how it was back in October, I guess it was, from Oklahoma, because we over in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I preached that last year, and then this past week, and she called me up because she couldn't get in touch with her preacher and nobody else, and she called me up and wanting me to pray her ex-husband out of hell. And I did not, listen, see, here's the way I am. My wife has got a high school diploma. She went to college for being a doctor or nurse and all these things. She's got educations that I can't even count up to. Amen. And sometimes they have what they call doctor talk. And she'll look at me and she'll think that I'm some doctor or somebody. And she'll think I'm understanding what she's saying. And I'm saying, hey, you got to remember, I'm a hillbilly. I don't talk that way. We got a lot of preachers that try to beat around the bush. I ain't trying to beat around the bush. I ain't trying to get you to make a profession. I'm trying to get you convinced that if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. Amen? You say, when am I going to die? I don't know. See, if I knew the day I was going to die and the place I was going to die, you know what I would do? I wouldn't go there. See how simple that is. But she wanted me to pray that guy. I guess she wanted me to pray, man. She was saying things that I didn't have no idea. I said, tell my wife what you said. And then my wife said, she wants you to pray. I said, well, you say, what'd you do? I prayed that God would comfort the family. And then if there was anybody lost, that they'd find their need of salvation. She said, why? Well, your preacher could bring anybody that he knows or don't know, or some church member, and he could preach him into heaven or preach him into hell. But if he don't know, guess what? They're in eternity. Amen? Listen, I don't care how good you are. I don't care how bad you are. Jesus will accept you. Jesus does not put any stipulations on salvation. He said, if you'll come, I'll do it. And here's the way I believe this with all of my heart. Just say somebody realizes they're a sinner, God's dealing with them, there is conviction on their heart, and they leave that pew, I personally believe, and they're meaning business. And I'm talking about, you got to mean business. It ain't just saying, well, I'm popping bubble gum and I'm coming to the altar. That ain't the way it works. Amen? I'm talking about meaning business with God. I believe you get saved before you ever say the prayer. But you got to mean it. And then I want to say this. We've got a lot of people today that no longer believe that repentance is necessary. I still do. You say, why? Well, Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise what? Perish. You say, what does that mean? Go to hell. See, the rich man died, and he lifted his eyes, being in torment. Now I'm gonna say I've never really heard a preacher that completely could describe hell like it is, but I try to do it to the best, and we all try to do it to our best of our abilities. You say, why? I don't want nobody to go there. The rich man died, and in hell, he was in torment. We was at the restaurant today, kids, and I'm gonna tell you how much your mom and daddy really loves you. They was glad when you left the restaurant. Amen. They said, man, it ain't been so quiet that long, long time. Brother Wade thought it was him being quiet. Amen. Do you know what? Do you know how bad it gets? The preacher was talking about they was at some of their family for, I guess, for the holidays and Christmas and stuff like that, and heard babies crying. If hell was nothing but babies screaming and crying, I wouldn't want to go. But it's more than that. A lake of fire. Burning! Can't be put out. It's for eternity. Just like I one day will go and enter into heaven walking on a street of gold because I accepted Christ. There's going to be people, and there has been people, that have lifted their eyes in hell. And let me let you know, the only thing that puts you in hell is rejecting Jesus Christ. See, when I got saved on July the 11th of 1999, I did not confess all of my sins. You say, why? Because I'd probably still be there. I confessed the sin of turning my back and rejecting my Jesus. And I got saved. I told my preacher whenever we would listen, we was me, my family, the preacher and his wife was the last ones in the building. We was fixing to go eat seafood. And the preacher's cutting off lights and doing what they do because nobody else can do it. Amen. Hey, man, good preaching if I am doing it. And then the preacher comes out and said, y'all ready? And I said, no. Because see, when I looked at the door going out in the building that we had at that time, you could see straight from the pulpit, you could see the back door. And I was in a place called Marion, South Carolina. And I did not see the door. I didn't see the green grass or the dead grass in that time of the year, whether it was a dry season or I seen hell. And then I seen hell. Then I seen Gary burning in hell. And then God didn't talk to me audible, but it sounded like it and said, you'll get in today or I'm done. You say, God wouldn't do that. He did do that. You say, how do you know? Because he done it to me. I've heard other people have a testimony in the park that they said, the day's the day. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't guaranteed tomorrow. You can make all the plans you want to. Listen, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But remember something. There's a God in heaven that can change that plan in a matter of seconds. I want to say something else to you. You don't have to be old to die. Don't know if I've said that this week, but it's worth repeating. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be sick. I seen today, I think it was this morning, I seen where some preacher's wife died unexpectedly. Well, the only way that I would die is because the doctor's going to tell me I'm going to die. No, the only time you're going to die is when it's your time to go. See, the Bible says in Hebrews, we just read over there, but it says that it's appointed unto man once to die. Do you want to be judged for to a righteous God for rejecting him? See, God's not going to say, well, here's a point for you, and here's a point for you, and if you can get this many points. No, you got to accept him. You got to accept him. You say, why? He's the way. I can't get you to heaven. Brother Wade can't get you to heaven. Pastor Walker can't get you to heaven. Do you know what that we can do? We can tell you about heaven. I don't know a whole lot about heaven other than what little bit the Bible does talk about it. And I do like what I've heard. And I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it and getting the rest of the story. But I do know a lot about hell. And I do know that after hell, you're brought up, judged, and then cast into the lake of fire. And there'll be no more extra time. See, here's the way I believe it. You'll get saved when God's dealing with you. You won't get saved. People say, well, you just don't understand. I've got things I need to do. They're more important than going to heaven. That one more deal, that one more dope deal, that one more whatever deal it is, one more, hey, you may not make it. Hell's real. The lake of fire's real. Heaven's real. I thank God that God didn't make it to where we couldn't go to heaven. I sure am glad God didn't say, well, I'm going to pick some and not some. Because you know what? I'd probably been one of them he didn't pick. I've played different kinds of sports. And I was the last one to get picked. You say, why? I didn't know what that was doing. Well, I don't know how to get to heaven other than through Jesus Christ. And he didn't pick me, I picked him. He picked me in the part of he died on the cross, and he done what was necessary to do, and he finished his work, then it was left up to me. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, you can't cope in this world without Jesus. I would hate to, and I do, I hate it for the people that's going to have to cope in what's going on in our world without Jesus. Do you know when somebody dies, I got a comforter? Do you know if the Democrats win, I've got a comforter? See, Joe Biden thinks he's the winner, but Jesus is the winner. He hasn't lost an election yet. He's not going to lose one. So I'm going to tell you right now, I would make sure I had Jesus so I could cope in this mess. Amen? Because the only thing that's going to change our country is getting back on the altar and getting on our knees and getting in touch with God. See, we got a lot of people that say, God bless America. Don't expect it. We have turned our back on God. Well, don't expect Jesus just to let you in because your name was something special. Amen? Brother Wade was telling everybody last night what his name meant in Indian. You know what? It's okay as far as this world's concerned, but he's not going to get into heaven because that's the way it is. He had to one day realize who he was and what he needed, just like anybody else in this room, and turn to God. I wouldn't leave this building if I didn't know. I would find somebody to talk to me. I'd find somebody to show me some more scripture. I'd find somebody, because Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't deserve heaven, but mercy made it happen. And Jesus in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9, Jesus gave me the faith and the grace to accept. And he says in the book of John, he has to draw us. Say, what's he drawing us to? To him. Jesus wants you to be saved. I'm sure there's people in this building, this room, would want you to be saved. But Jesus wants you to be saved more than that. Because why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, we got a lot of people think that God's come to condemn them. No, he didn't come to condemn them. He came to save them. If you're condemned, it's because you think that way. Amen? Sometimes I get on one of those little depressing days, and I just say, well, God, it just ain't nothing to me. I might as well just go home, sit down, shut up. And I am right. But then he says, yeah, but because of me, you can go on. Please don't go to hell. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't nobody worth going to hell for. There ain't nothing material worth going to hell for. Amen? And I want to say this. If you was to get saved, that may not change your life and your situations. But it will change where you're going to go. And it would be better to be in bad conditions and be saved than it would be in good conditions and be lost. That make sense? Lord, I thank you for the night. I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for being so good to us. God, I pray that you'd have your will and way in this service and this place, in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'd like to ask you to go ahead and please stand. I'd like to ask you to bow your head. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking around. The Lord's been with us tonight. The Lord's been doing some work in my heart. He's been doing some work in yours. But he's given us an opportunity today. He's given us an opportunity tonight. got the gospel nice and easy for us, real clear presentation. You want to get to heaven when you die, you trust in Jesus Christ. You want to go to hell, you trust anything else. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Hawkins told us Romans 10, 9 and 10 there. It's how to get saved, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that says, I sure don't want to go to hell. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know. None of us know when our last day is going to be. We don't know when our final breath is going to be, but whenever that happens, it's over. You can't change direction when you're going to hell after you die. You're already heading there. You say, well, I hadn't been that bad. Do you know how many sins it takes to cast you into hell? Just one. It just takes one sin to make you a sinner. And you just have to break one law to be a lawbreaker. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've sinned, and Hawkins has sinned, each and every person here, we're all sinners. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The only difference is, my sins got washed away. July 1992, I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. I went in a sinner, bound for hell. If I'd have died before that day, I'd been burning in hell all eternity. Been a sad day. But some preacher behind a pulpit told me about Jesus Christ. Told me how he died on the cross, how he was beaten for me, how he was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him. The preacher told me that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took my filth, my sin, and he washed it in his precious blood. If there's anyone here tonight, you say, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go to hell. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. Why don't you get that settled today? You say, well, what do I got to do? I got to join the church? No. No, salvation isn't in Grace Baptist Church. Salvation is not through any preacher. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. You say, well, what do I got to do? The payment's been made. Payment was made 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross to pay for your sins. Well, how do I receive it? I ask him. Do you believe him? You say, well, that sounds pretty simple. It is simple. What do I got to do? Best way you can do it right now, leave your seat, you come down here to the altar, you get on your knees and say, God, I'm a sinner. God, I've committed some sins. I've done stuff that I know that you don't approve of. I know it was wrong. I've told lies. I've cheated. I've stole. I've done whatever you've done. And say, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to have to pay for this sin. I don't want to go to hell. I want to ask Jesus Christ to save my soul. I'm asking for him to pay my payment, my sin for me. Is there anybody here tonight that says, I want to get saved. I want Jesus Christ. I want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Say, preacher, why did you get saved? Because I didn't want to go to hell. Amen. It's not because I wanted to be a good person. It's not because I wanted things in my life straightened out. I was afraid of hell. I didn't want to go to hell. That's a good reason to get saved. Amen. Well, I'll think about it, preacher. I want to go home and I want to think about it, you know, and I'll go back to my life and see if I really want to give up my sin. You better watch out. You might not make it home tonight. I'm not calling any curse on you or anything like that. But I want to let you know, if the Lord's dealing with you, don't fight him. Don't harden that heart. Don't say, not today, Lord, not today. No. Today's the day. Today's the day you can call on Jesus Christ and know. Today's the day you could have your sins washed away, your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. wonder. Everybody's head is still bowed, every eye is still closed. I wonder how many people here today can say, "Preacher, I have prayed, I have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul. I know for sure, 100%, if I were to die today, I know my home is in heaven." If you can say that, would you raise your hand? Say, "I'm sure, absolutely. I see those hands, thank you." You can put them down. I wonder if there's anybody here today. I'm not going to bug you. I'm not going to come get you. I want to be able to pray for you, as I know others will be praying for you. Is there anybody here today who says, "I'm not sure. Preacher, I don't know. If I were to die today, if I didn't make it home tonight, if I died in my sleep tonight, I don't know that I'd be to get to heaven." Is there anybody here today that would raise their hand and say, "I'm not sure, preacher. Would you pray for me?" If there's anybody here like that, would you raise your hand? Say, "Preacher, I don't know." I wouldn't bet my soul on anything. I wouldn't take a chance to do it tomorrow. I wouldn't take a chance. You say, "Well, I need more information. I want to know more Bible." That's good. Okay. Ask somebody. Don't leave here before knowing the answer. Say, I want you to show me a little more from the Bible. We'd be happy to. Pick any man here with a tie, he'll show you. Be more than happy to.